right, let's go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and our in-studio guest, Jamal Mayers, former NHL forward, Sportsnet hockey analyst, one of the busiest guys going right now. I love it, having an in-studio guest.
Yes.
So much better.
It is. Can't drop the connection.
Mayers, if you can fill out one of these programs... You got the full-time job right there in that chair. I'll give it to you, bud.
We love it. We love it.
There's a lot of notes there. I'm a little nervous.
How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Ready for the playoffs to start.
Yes, yeah. I know. And you, of course, make your home base in St. Louis.
Yep.
I just asked you off the air if you went by chance to watch Edmonton Oilers and St. Louis Blues last night, but you didn't. But nonetheless, an interesting story developing in the Western Conference where we thought, at least I did, that things were dead and buried, but there is a small chance with the St. Louis Blues just hanging around. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're not out of it, is my point, based on last night.
Which is kind of strange, because like game previous, at home, they lost 3-0 to the Sharks, and you thought, okay, that's the end of them. Put the fork in them, but they're a resilient group, And let's be honest, Edmonton comes in. You know how that works. You see that they had just lost to San Jose. Maybe they let off the gas a little bit. But you're right. They've managed to stay relevant right till the end. They're still technically in it. There's still hope. I'm not sure how much hope the fan base necessarily has at this point. But, you know, they're right there. They could still somehow sneak in, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, no, let's talk a little bit about the playoff races, keep with the West a little bit. You know, it's very possible that Oilers team could end up drawing Vegas, which, I don't know, I thought this Oilers team, you know, best chance in the West to win a cup. Is that not a terrible draw for the Oilers, or do you think it doesn't really matter, you kind of got to beat whoever anyway?
I think they're going to have to slay that beast or that dragon, whether it's in the first round or the second round or perhaps in the conference final. At the end of the day, it's probably not ideal, but I think they're a confident group, and they should probably be thinking, Vegas doesn't want to play us.
Yeah.
And so they've solidified their goaltending. They've turned their season around in regard to how they defend and how committed they are to defending. Connor is doing Connor-like things, and it feels like they have more depth now. You know, perhaps it was at the expense of Kane and the development of Fogle and a couple other young guys. But that was essential, in my opinion, for their bottom six to find and identify what their role is going to be. And I feel like they're not so dependent. Yeah, they're top heavy, and like a lot of teams are, but they have a little bit more depth up front. And defending wise, I think they do it as a group.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the depth definitely there. The additions of Carrick and Adam Henrique. But on the back end, did they need one significant pickup here on the back end, a more legitimate top four looking guy? Is CeCe enough to hold his own playing 20 minutes every other night?
Guess we're going to find out. I think they probably realize that they're going to have to score sometimes out of their troubles, right? They're not going to defend to a cup, but they're going to have to score. The power play is going to have to come up big. They're going to have to do it a different way. But they're not as porous defensively, I think, as they have been in the past. They're an offensive team that will scare a lot of teams. And, you know, I don't think they're going to win 2-1. I think they're going to have to win goals that are, you know, six and seven goal games. And that's just going to have to be their formula. And timely saves are going to be important. And I think that, to me, goaltending is no longer a concern either. So this is a team that I would not want to face.
You know, and you can answer this too, Kip, but do you think it matters how you play going into the playoffs? Like when you guys won your cups, I don't know how your teams were playing, but like, does it make a difference, or is it just a whole fresh start by the time you get to that game one?
So it's kind of actually a funny question to ask that, because that season we started the season and didn't have a regulation loss, I believe, in 24 games. So we started, we had tied a couple, or maybe we'd lost, but we haven't lost. So we were a team that perhaps with like six games left in that, we weren't playing well, but we still found a way to win. We're also a team where you'd watch them and like, you know, sometimes in the playoffs, you realize, like, we don't have our game, and then, boom, we turn it on like it was a faucet and win. My whole career, it was a rule that you can't just turn it on. But that was the one team that could just turn it on.
Yeah.
So I would say that's because they had won a cup previously, and they had those players that knew they could do that. I would generally still say that the answer is no, you can't just turn it on, that you want to be playing. You don't have to be playing your best hockey, but you can't be playing poorly.
In 94, we were...
You guys traded everyone, didn't you?
Yeah, we made about six changes at the trade deadline.
But you won the President's Trophy.
We won the President's Trophy.
And made those changes.
We had the comfortable feel that we were the best regular season team, and yet we went into the island, I'm thinking around February, March, and we had not won there in like 2.5 years. It was something ridiculous.
Yeah, they were pretty good around that
time. And we felt that... that was a must win for us. Mm-hmm. That forget about being in first place. Forget about people looking at us as legit Stanley Cup. We needed to slay that dragon right there. Mm-hmm. And it was a crazy game in which Mike Richter started. Keenan pulled him, put Glenn Healy in. Heels was worse. Pulled him back out, put Mike Richter in. Heels is now screaming at Keenan with, they're dropping F-bombs, like going crazy. And it's like out of control. And somehow we came back on a Zuby game-winning goal and beat the Islanders. Yeah. And we felt at that was by far the biggest win of the season. And it really helped the psyche. I don't know if the Leafs can feel the same way with their victory last night against Florida, a team that just thoroughly thrashed them in the second round. But these are things that can stay in your mind going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And you're right. That game was kind of, sometimes you learn lessons and you send a message even when you lose games. Like, that was one of those types of games for me, watching the Leafs against, you know, the Panthers in that regard, because they sent a message that they weren't going to be pushed around, that they were going to stand up to them, and that if they likely face each other in the playoffs, they're not going to have that mental edge that perhaps going into the prior to that game, even though it's just one game, mm-hmm. that maybe that Florida thought they would have mentally over the Leafs.
So how do you feel when you watch some of these scrums? Yesterday, we were talking about the Buffalo game where the end of the game is 3-0 and everyone's squared off, but everyone's gloves are on. Kipper called it a Gen Z brawl, I think.
That's Sammy.
Someone called it a Gen Z brawl, which is very funny. You know,
yeah, very funny.
Do you feel like when you watch, like, all right, McMahon and Tuck are going at it for a while, but no one's fighting, like, is that today's way of standing up for yourself, showing that you're not going to back down? Or do you think it's like, all right, just do this?
Well, you can't help but remember, like...
Don't ask our generation.
Well, I want to hear it.
Like, are you kidding me? Like,
I want someone to say the thing that everyone's saying.
Just getting to the front of the net, I remember you would get punched in the face. Yeah. Like, it was just like cross-check or a punch. The game's changed. I would rather they just skate away from each other than do that. I don't think it shows anything. Because my thinking was always, if you're alone and you drop your glove or drop your stick and mm-hmm. you're punched, like, that's, once you get to 2 1,000s, it's probably time to fight or not to fight.
Well, I said the same thing yesterday. It's either just don't or do. But the middling thing is the strange
part. That part I don't. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Cole Perfetti scores the game-winning goal, snaps a losing streak for the Winnipeg Jets. A huge victory for them. Just to start feeling good again. Mm-hmm. But can you see a Jets-Colorado first round, speaking of tough matchups?
I mean, I would love to see that one. The Jets have been, you know, for years, I feel like they get to the second half of the year and they sort of have been like dwindling a little bit. But I feel like there's enough there this year. You know, they're deep enough up front that they could still give Colorado a good push, no?
Yeah, you know it's funny because I'd done a game there. I did the game on Saturday against Ottawa, and previously I hadn't done a game there or with their game for, I would say, 3 months. But 3 months ago, I legitimately thought this is a Stanley Cup team.
Yeah.
Because they have arguably this season, I think, the best goalie in the NHL. Has better numbers than when he actually won the Vezina this year. And they defend as a group. They're committed. They have a standard they hold each other accountable to. The question was offense, where are they going to get it from? They kind of figured that out. They're healthy. And then I watched them play on Saturday. I'm like, this is a shadow of the team. And I start to wonder, okay, is it hard to continue to play that your way all season long and they're going to ramp it up when it matters here in a week and a half? Or have they fallen off a little bit and other teams have caught up a little bit? I still think that they're going to be a really tough out, but they're one of the teams that I would point to and say it's not trending in the right direction for them. And you're right. This isn't the first time. This has been a yearly thing for the Winnipeg Jets. And it's very strange because when they're committed to defending, it's like they get impatient at this part of the season. They're like, I don't know if they're looking at their numbers and they're not happy with their own personal numbers or whatever it is, but the formula works. That's the frustrating part, I'm sure, for coaching staff and leadership is it works. We had success. We're one of the top teams in the league. Let's get back to that. So I'm sure that's a lot of what the conversations are about. Mm-hmm.
Detroit with a huge 2 points against Tampa Bay. And I'm just wondering, though, is it the Capitals' spot to lose here?
Honestly, I like Detroit's.
You do still?
And I know that Washington has a game at hand. I can't remember all the games and the matchups, but I looked at it, and they play, I believe, Montreal twice.
You can have that if you like. Yeah. Or you need to check it out.
I'll just say I know their path in the rest of the season is easier than Washington's.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is helpful because they should win 5 of those 7 games. And they get to play Washington one of those times. So I think the path is set up in the right way for them. I don't know how the heck that Washington's even in this mix, but they are. Their coaching staff has to be commended. I just think Detroit's going to find a way to get it done based on their schedule.
Yeah, you know, I'm watching that game last night, the Islanders-Flyers game. So they're obviously a couple of teams who are in the thick of it. The Isles blow it with 9.5 seconds left. End up going to OT, and they do score the OT winner. But, boy, they needed the Flyers to not get a point out of that en route to whatever. The Flyers have been stumbling a little bit down the stretch. I'm curious your thoughts on Tortorella and how he's handled things. Obviously, the Couturier thing has been a big story. But even last night after the game, he called them soft. He said the only guy who played last night was the Russian goalie that they put in the second period. Like, he's all over this team trying to squeeze the last bit out of him here. Is it helping or hurting how much he's got the pedal to the floor for the Flyers?
I don't think, listen, he's a very smart hockey guy, but I'm surprised he hasn't realized that it's not working.
Right now it is.
And then changed his direction and how he wants to motivate. I get it. They've been floundering, but I think as a veteran player, if I were on that team, I would be thinking, he doesn't believe in us. I see it as panic. I see it as nervous. I see it as not the proper type of energy. And I wonder if his team, the players, are feeling that negativity as him doubting what they're capable of versus challenging them. Like, there's a difference. They're not, it's not resonating as a challenge. It's like, oh yeah, maybe he's right. I think he's not getting what he wants out of the group. I think he needs to shift because it's become too much of the negativity, too much of the challenging, and it's not working. So at some point you got to pivot, and that's what I feel about.
This is the same team that he's described them as having huge kahunas.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And then last night, really soft.
Which one is it?
Yeah, so it's the same players. I agree. I think that's the first time I've heard that. It does feel like panic.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we were supposed to be in, I was going to do this great thing with this team, and now it feels like it's slipping through my fingers.
And he's really set himself up, Tortorella. And listen, I'm with you. Really good hockey mind. Great success. Has won in the past. I get all of that. But he's really set himself up as being one of the focal points on what went wrong at the end of the year. He's made himself a huge story, and it's not the story of the players with their lack of experience or not coming up big in the big moments. It's about, did you suck too much oxygen out of that room?
Yes. So let's say this. Let's say at some point, I would say you tried it for, let's give it 2 weeks. It's probably been longer if you're really in that room. And you talk to your coaching staff, and it's not working. Wouldn't you shift and say, okay, let's try to show them some positive video. Let's show them some video from earlier in the year. Let's talk about the things we do well as a group. Let's empower them to feel good about themselves, to not be afraid to make mistakes, to play on your toes and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like today's players are perhaps a little bit more sensitive. They're still wired the same that if you, I just think you got to, it's like when you have kids, right? I know that my oldest daughter, after a game, I could say that was, she's a soccer player. I could say to her that that was terrible. I don't know why you're even playing. I don't think how you think you're going to play college soccer after this. And I could say that to her, and she would internalize it. She'd be upset with me, and she'd go and go into, if I
get to work.
Yeah. But you're looking for a reaction.
Yeah, I'm looking for a reaction. But I know her personality that she's going to respond, and she's going to kind of go show me. Versus my middle daughter, if I say the same, if I even say four amazing things and I give her one negative, she only hears the negative, yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's like you have to know your audience. You have to know who you're talking. I just feel like there should be a shift there. I'm surprised there hasn't been.
What you remember earlier in the year, him yelling at was it Bobby Brink and someone else, like he really goes at guys when he gets upset. And, you know, Kip's talked about maybe him going into management at some point.
Well, Doug McLean had mentioned on one of our shows that perhaps he might aspire to leave the bench and maybe go into management, upper management.
Like work with Breer.
Would you ever, could you see a guy like Craig Berube sliding in there if that's the case?
I bet Berube's got his pick, doesn't he?
I think so. I would like to, you know, I would like to see Chief in Ottawa. If I just feel like they need.
Yeah.
I've always, I don't know about you, but I always liked like a coach that showed emotion. I know that that's what coaches today are probably a little bit more reserved. I don't know. I'd always feel like at some point you're going to need, I need the coach to get on the ref. I need the coach to show some emotion, to get upset. And sometimes it's by design. Sometimes it's to get our attention. I don't know. I just feel like that's what that team needs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like I always felt like there's value in that calculated emotional response from your coach. We're in this together. We're battling together, and I could feel the coach's energy.
Yeah, I like that too. I want to get your thoughts on that Ottawa team. Like, it's a unique thing. So they've underachieved this year. I think they've been one of the more disappointing teams in terms of what we thought they might do. They have these young players they're trying to bring along, and it just hasn't happened. And maybe some of that is coaching. They get rid of a coach. They bring in a guy who pretty clearly is going to be a temporary coach. But also, they have a captain who's a young guy. You know, he's quite young. And then you have Claude Giroux who comes in who's an older guy. You know, that's sort of like, I don't know if that puts a tension in the room where you have an older guy, but the younger guy's the captain. Like, what are your thoughts on the way on Ottawa's leadership, from the coaching to the Giroux and Brady dynamic, and just a way forward for that whole thing that just has been a bit of a mess this season?
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of growth with their bottom six, in particular their fourth line. And you guys know this. When you're one of those guys, you have to recognize time, score, situation. And sometimes Brady has an unbelievable hockey mind, and when he recognizes his team isn't doing the things, he does those things that I think the bottom six should be doing because he recognized it. And I think
like jawing and energy
where games start slipping in the first those shifts, and he wants to respond physically. He's the guy with 30 goal seasons in a row who's our leading scorer. He doesn't need to be doing that. So sometimes I feel for Brady watching him try to do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he needs help in that part of it. So I think that's important. I also think, I know perhaps there are Stevie Staios. I know Stevie Staios is the right guy. He's a smart hockey guy. It's hard, though, that when you don't have a coach, right? So what everybody knows, he's the placeholder. All the players know it. They're kind of like, what? I don't know how to say this the right way. The most disappointing part for the way that they're playing right now, and they're playing so well, is I call it selfish hockey.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, people could perceive it as they're playing for each other. No, they're not. You're playing for yourself. They're playing for their next contract. They're playing for their next position, playing for another team to see how good they and where they can go next or how much more money they can make. That's the easy time to play. And to me, it would make me upset if you're Brady watching these guys competing now down the stretch when we needed you in October and November. So until they get the next guy in there that establishes the standard, and I also would suggest this. If you look on paper, really, really amazing core up front. This is probably a crazy thought. As good as Batherson is that mix the right mix? Like, that I think you have to analyze too.
Yeah.
Because to me, as good as he is and all the, you know, those pieces, it's like, is it really working the way you wanted it to work? Like, it's been 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so I just think Ottawa's got to be careful. Even though Brady signed long-term, like, he, what if he says, I've had enough?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be devastating.
Well, the one thing that I, and listen, I'm like everybody else. I'm a huge Brady Tkachuk fan, and I've got no problem with him being the captain of the Ottawa Senators, but I don't know if it came a little too early for him, where he's still learning how to be a pro or a great teammate. There's no question, I think, that he was heading in that direction. But when you put a guy that young, that early in a situation, you better make sure he's well insulated with other veterans mm-hmm. that can still pull him aside, and he can lean on others to say, what do you think about this situation? What should I do? What should I say? And I look around the room and I see nobody with the exception of Claude Giroux. And
Shabbat, Norris, and Sanderson.
Who else is there to help
Stützle.
Brady Tkachuk how to be an NHL captain?
You're 1,000% right. People don't realize how that works, right? I remember when Eric Brewer got named the captain. He was my roommate. Got traded for Pronk. Not easy shoes to fill. And you could argue whether he was ready or not for that job. I remember taking, you know, we're roommates. So I said, listen, Brew, in front of the team, anything you say, I'm going to support you.
Yeah.
But when I don't agree with you, I will pull you aside and I'll say, I'm not sure you handled that right, because I want to make sure that this works. And so, you know, not that I had, you know, but
you've been around, you know.
You have a voice. And you're like, guys are listening. If you react like whatever, then they're going to take on that energy. So you want to make sure it's heading in the right direction. You're 1,000% right. They have to, and not just one more, they need three more veteran-type players that can, like, help him. Because he's going to make mistakes, but he does need guidance. As much as he's been around it his whole life, as much as his intentions are in the right spot, Kipper, you're 100% right.
Is that hard, though? Like, you know, some veterans, they sign three veteran guys this summer, and they come in and they say, hey, Brady, you know, maybe this, maybe that, whatever. Like, that's tough, I think. It takes some humility, as I'm the captain of this team. This is my team. You know, kind of don't tell me how to run this show. I guess it's not saying it can't be done, but that's a hard dynamic, isn't it?
It all depends on who's coming into that room and what have they done and how well-respected they are. Yeah. That's a hand-picked guy you're talking about. That's not just plucking somebody for the sake of saying, oh, you've spent 10 years in the league. You got to do your homework on who's coming in. And listen, Stajos or Anlauer, the owner, or somebody can also go up to Matthew Tkachuk and say, hey, listen, there's still a lot of growth in your game here. So be wise to listen to this guy you know, have this guy take you under his wing, because he can teach you how to go to the next level here.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that he's a smart enough kid. He's a very mature kid. He's going to want that. He wants that next step. Mm-hmm. He wants that next. And he knows at the end of the day, you're financially secure. You're an all-star. You're respected by your peers. Like, he's missing the one piece, like the winning piece.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, and I also think he is a humble enough kid to realize, listen, no one wants to be called out in front of the group. You have to know what the personalities and who you could do that to and who you can pull aside. And if you bring the right person in, I think he's going to be, and I think he's going to be open to it and recognize why they're bringing these people in.
Yeah.
It's only going to take three dinners and two road trips where he's going to be like, I can learn from this guy.
It's crazy though, looking at his like stats and bio, you know, 6'4", 225, 330 goal seasons, 24 years old. Like, you know, that's a impact player. If he can get, a, you know, in playoffs, I think he'd be a just a wonderful force for them.
We got Jamal Mayers in studio on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are talking Stanley Cup playoffs. We're talking captaincy. We are talking 101 parenting. We do it all on this show. Yeah. So, Jammer, before you take off, you know, we know who's the favorites, right? Give me a team that some people might be sleeping on here
once
we start this this playoff run. And I don't know where you would put Carolina.
So I'll tell you a funny story. So my brother said, I think Carolina is like a real good sleeper team. And at the time, they were first. I'm like, that's not a sleeper.
I almost said Dallas, and I was like, first in the center.
But I do like Dallas, and I do like Carolina. And Carolina is because, you know, in doing one of the games there and talking to Rod, you could tell that, how do you say this the right way, but you could tell that he liked the way his team was playing, but perhaps the goaltending wasn't. He didn't say it, but you could kind of tell, like, the way that the season was going. And the fact that they didn't make a move at the deadline when everyone in hockey was thinking, like, you need a goalie.
Yeah.
And they must have known they're going to get a healthy Anderson back. They're a team with the additions they made at the deadline that are going to be really, really tough out, I think, for a lot of teams. And then the reason why I like Dallas, to be honest, is because I think teams that have older guys, guys that haven't won before, give guys that are 26, 25, maybe they've had a ton of personal success, it's always more fun in hockey to do it for somebody other than yourself. I think those teams that find those connections and
Ben and
those
Pavelski
guys they can, yeah, they can lean on four, they have an extra incentive and reason to do it, and I always think those teams are dangerous.
Kip likes them both, too.
Jammer, what do you got tonight on the network?
I'm just going to talk hockey.
6:30, Hockey Central?
Yes.
You got a game tonight, or are you off tonight?
We got three games, I think. There's too many games. Lots of games.
Well, we look forward to watching you tonight, pal. Thanks for doing this.
Well, I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jammer.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Jamal Mayers in studio. Does a terrific job here at the network. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Sammy McKee, game time, plus a little Sid talk. An elite company with only Wayne Gretzky and Gordie Howe will tell you in what category when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in our Sammy McKee back in the producer's chair where Jamal Mayers sat moments ago and did a terrific job.
Oh. Kip tried to hire him as producer.
Yeah, it's
sorry about that.
Too busy, though.
Yeah, too busy. Wouldn't want to fight him for it, that's for sure.
Big Messi. Oh, my God.
He almost crunched my hand.
Did you like the captaincy conversation?
I did. I loved the conversation about Brady Tkachuk. I think there's a lot to that and what you're talking about. And we've heard kind of rumblings out of there about that sort of thing. But I think the Brewer following up for Pronger thing is
yeah.
a very salient point. It's tough, that age, man. You know, not everyone's Sid.
I don't know. No. A few years ago, there's some around me, I think at Sportsnet, even like 4 or 5 years ago, where there people were talking like a captaincy's overrated.
No,
it's just a letter, and it's like
had those conversations with people.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
This is like a huge part of your identity, your makeup, what you're about. You need somebody to rep 25 other guys in the playoffs here.
Yeah.
There needs to be a face, a leader.
He's the face to the media. He's the liaison to the coach to let them know what's going on in the room. He's a lot of things to a lot of different people, and it's not just here's the best player, put a letter on him. It's a
alpha dog.
It's a responsibility.
Hmm. Game time?
Game time.
Game time.
All right, boys, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only, please play responsibly. Now, Kipper was asking me about to do something in game time. And he was talking about the big awards because we're getting close to that time. Is that what you're wanting me to
bring in? I think a lot of people are feeling like, I don't know, is still wide open for you with, half a dozen games to go that,
I mean,
to win an award, or is it done?
Wide open for the Hart Trophy. Art Ross wide open. Obviously, that's not voted on. Norris Trophy, is there movement now? Has Yossi got himself in there? Has Makar got himself in there?
So Bet365.
Ekholm. People are talking about Ekholm.
Wow. Yeah.
They don't. Bet365 does not agree that it's wide open for the Hart.
We do not agree.
We do not agree. -350 for Nathan MacKinnon to win the Hart still. Kucherov +500. Connor McDavid +550, Austin Matthews all the way up to +2200.
+550, Connor McDavid?
Yeah.
He's going to lead the league in scoring? And
100 assists?
100 assists?
To me,
550? That's a good number.
I'm looking at this and what this gives me. You know, we talk about how there's some teams that don't have a ton of talent and expanding or whatever, but the top end of the league is breathtakingly good.
It's like so good.
I mean, Austin Matthews is in the conversation to score 70 goals here. He gets two last night. He's
needs 8 and 8 games.
8 and 8 games, which he has done many times in his career.
Yeah.
He's +2200 to win the Hart. Like, how many years are there that the guy that would be that far down with a potential 70-goal season, it's just the top of the league right now. There are unbelievable talents.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That Kucherov conversation yesterday moved some people. The All-Star Game thing, people had some reactions to that. I think you know, Kuch made a point that some people are like, oh, I never thought of that. You know, maybe I don't hate that as much.
Good old Oatsy.
Oatsy.
I think Oatsy and Kuch set it up because he's coming to Toronto. The night before.
That's why he was so keen to have
I'm just joking. That was me that asked that question. So, but hey, good timing for Kucherov to come back to the scene of the crime.
For sure.
With a good explanation on why he tanked. Tomorrow.
Maybe somebody will ask him. Maybe Luke Fox will ask
Almost
him.
Certainly will be Luke.
So the Norris Trophy that you mentioned there, Quinn Hughes is -500.
Done.
Kale Makar is +400. And your boy, Roman Yossi, most underrated player in the league, according to Kipper, +2,000, so 20-1. So they think it's over.
20-1. Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, a couple of these long shots are pretty good.
You know who else has shown tremendous life still on the Nashville Predators on defense?
Who's that?
McDonough?
Brian McDonough.
Mm.
Is he a reason why they're still?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what a hockey player. His, you know, when they won the Stanley Cup, probably the most underrated contributor on that team. Just, he must have blocked 6,000 shots that playoff.
So there you go. Did you want any other futures there, Kipper? Are you good with that?
I'm good.
All right. Just quickly look at the lines for tonight. There was a game that I wanted to bring up. The Vegas Golden Knights and Vancouver Canucks tonight in Vegas. I saw a video of Tomáš Hertl skating in a white jersey at practice, which usually means I can play hockey again. Yeah. So the Vancouver Canucks are +105 in Vegas tonight. I like the Canucks +105. So give me that tonight in Vegas. So that's the only one I wanted to bring up. And that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
And just as a reminder, Real Kipper and Bourne, always brought to you by Bet365 as well. All right, boys. Sid Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught last night the show he put on Broadway, but he is sick good. What?
No, you're right. It's just
how,
like,
do we have this conversation
without
the other conversation?
I don't know, but I'm just saying that this guy has got a signature redirect move that is like something that we've never seen before.
Yeah, he's able to, it's like a cutter.
It's a four.
You know what I mean? It comes across angled.
Forehand redirect that almost can come off like a shot, but it doesn't.
It's like a 70-degree.
Yeah.
It's just a bizarre.
It's like a club in your bag you've never seen before.
It's like a cheater club.
It's like an infomercial club. They're like, it's the 72-degree double. It's like, what? When am I going to use that?
So he could sell that.
Oh, yeah. The Crosby Tipper.
Did you know that him getting to 82 points last night ties him with Gretzky, with Wayne Gretzky, Probably heard
Wayne,
of him.
Oh, Wayne, not Brent.
No, 19th point per game season.
Howe at 17, and a Gretzky and
Sid Crosby.
Sid at 19.
So I think Howe will talk about it without talking about next year where he's going.
Where he's going.
I mean, listen, I don't know what I'm saying here, but I've mentioned this to you guys on the show before, and this is where, for my generation, like every generation's like, he's the GOAT. He's one of the best players of all time. And people like push back on it. It's the old guys say no, the young guys say yes. It's like LeBron versus MJ, all these different things. Montana versus Brady for a while was a thing. To me, he is on the Mount Rushmore of hockey. Mm-hmm. He is one of the best four players in the history of the game. And Sidney Crosby deserves to be talked about in those conversations. He's one of the best in the history of the game, a top five guy, a top four guy, if you will. He's unbelievable.
I'm only going to ask you this one question because of him.
Okay.
Are we sure they're out of the playoffs?
Oh, my God. What did you just say to
me? Yeah, I'm just looking at their schedule. There are...
God, no. I'm not sure.
There's 16 points still on the table for them. I know Washington's going to have to go in the tank and Detroit's going to have to go in the tank.
Not even. They need any of Philly or Washington to go in the tank, either of them.
But, like, it's Sid.
So they're... Wyshynski put out a tweet today about the current probabilities to make the Stanley Cup playoffs from Stathletes, that he has them at 4% to make the playoffs.
But listen, their next two games are against New Jersey and Washington. You know,
so that's the season right there against Washington, for sure.
They win a couple of games there. You know, it's the reason it's such a low number, Sam, is because there's so many teams involved. Mm-hmm. You know, they're only 5 points behind Washington with a game in hand. On Philly, so two games in hand on Philly, who's 6 points up on them. Catchable teams, we'll see. They'd have to get red hot. It's unlikely, Kip, but yeah, I can see how they could get to 90 points.
I'm putting all my feelings about Kyle Dubas completely to the side. There are a few things that would make me happier than a Sidney Crosby red hot run to drag the carcass of the Pittsburgh Penguins into the playoffs.
13 points in like five games.
He's unbelievable.
He is tied for top 15 NHL scoring in his 19th season.
I just don't want people to be like, this guy. Just full stop. He's one of the best all time.
Yeah.
Top five guy.
And, you know, what a competitor.
The man. Yeah. The absolute man. So,
and this is a guy that we were questioning where his future was, right, with the concussions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we get a sponsor for our daily, you know, massage of Sidney Crosby.
Well, we had to do it that way, or else we'd be like, where's he going to play next year for the 100th time?
Jiffy Lube brought to you.
Can we focus on the 70-degree hockey stick that he's going to sell?
I'm selling products over here, boys.
But, yeah, you mentioned those times those years he missed, and I think I've brought this up on the show before, but without those years missed, and you know, the talk about the chase for Ovi for beating Gretzky. Yes, 2,000 points.
Very viable.
100% would have been a chase for it. Because what is he at now? He's close to 1,600.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just, you know, there you go.
So in that playoff race, the Islanders sit ahead of them 79 points.
Mm.
The Red Wings, 82 points. The Capitals are in with 82 points as well. So it's tight.
There was a rather large game last night between your New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers. So we don't often do this. I put a clip in there that I didn't tell David Sisboomba about, so he's probably going to be pissed off about me. I don't even think I told Derek about it, but he can check it. We did a full scrum of a coach and the reporters. This is a 2-minute long clip of John Tortorella addressing the reporters after the game last night. If you guys, are you ready for that?
Oh, 100%. Here we
go. Scores that goal early in the second period. You guys had all the momentum, and things kind of came to a stop. What was your assessment of where things were?
Soft. One guy played, the goalie.
How encouraging is it that he came in like that cold and was able to?
Terrific. He's the only guy that played.
Is that pretty surprising? Considering you said, like, you trust your team, you don't have to tell them or remind them, and then they do that.
You're finding things out here, okay, when these games are at a whole different plane, okay? It's still regular season, right? But it's a whole different plane. So we're finding things out.
You talked after the last game about
about that was kind of what you felt like wasn't a great performance. Are you concerned at all that tonight it kind of lingered again, that you just said it was a soft game per se?
Not the whole game and not the whole group. There are certain people that they don't have a clue how to play or just don't have it in them to play in these type of situations. And this is why I'm glad we're playing them. I'm glad because we have to figure things out as far as what we're going to become as a team here. That was embarrassing in the second period for the Philadelphia Flyer uniform, the way we played. Embarrassing. High marks as far as how we came back in the third. Some guys.
With regards to Ivan, why did you make the decision to bring him in, and how impressed were you in his performance tonight?
I wanted to bring him in. It just didn't look right with Urs, and I'm totally impressed. I put him in a hell of a spot. And he's the only goddamn player that played in the second period. No.
Wait, hold on, one more.
A couple days off before you started back-to-back, is that kind of what you were talking about over that some guys need some rest, or is that you just want?
Yeah, we can talk about that, to rest, this, that, the other thing. If you don't have enough balls to play in these type of games, rest doesn't do us any good. Doesn't do us any good.
We suck. We haven't forechecked. We haven't done anything.
What happened to their cojones from earlier in the year? They lost
all. Say we had big balls?
Yeah. Balls. The marble sack broke. They're all over the floor.
I like him again.
You like him again?
I love that. I think I can separate the Couturier stuff, which I hated. But him doing that, I think, is totally fair play for a coach. Like, I think that's, if you feel that way, you're allowed to go and then lean into it like that.
I guess I'd agree with you if it wasn't just so torts being torts. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a certain element of attracting attention for himself and being the subject and being the most talked about guy. And that's the part that bothers me. If it was just a one-off, Sammy...
Right? It's fair.
But not what seems now like every other week.
How about the line, they don't have a clue how to play? About his guys, like in, you know, big games down the stretch here, he's talking about his players. They don't have a clue how to play. You're the coach. Yeah. You're supposed to have a clue how to play. It's great that you're learning about these guys as you go or whatever, but to me, if I'm in the dressing room, well, what chance do we have down the stretch if we don't know how to play?
There are certain people that they don't have a clue how to play.
Like, that's
it's the NHL.
Stuff, I know.
I'm pretty sure they have a clue.
They have a very favorable schedule. Their next three games are Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal.
If this thing really melts down and you do a look back on the Philadelphia Flyers, I point it right in the direction, the time Sean Couturier was named captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. That's when it derailed.
When he was named captain or when he was scratched?
No, when he was named captain, because the scratch came right after.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but from 30,000 feet above, it looks awfully like a coach that was told who his captain was and didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. And behaved like a brat about it. You know what's really fascinating? Do you know who their last game of the year is against? Washington.
Wow.
Capitals Flyers play on April 16th, and presumably they're going to be in a dogfight down the stretch here. The Flyers only have six games left.
Can you see Keith Jones and Daniel Briere doing another year of this?
I hope Keith Jones coaches game 82. I hope by the time it all derails.
Great point. It's been like, if we're really talking, it's been a bit of a circus here for the last, you know, even since the.
Well, hold on though. The Flyers were supposed to be garbage this year. They were basically tanking. He's going to take them into the playoffs and you're going to fire him?
Yeah, balls. You are. Yeah, you are.
Just based on all this circus, you think it's that much? Yeah.
Well, think back to the Gauthier stuff and
people
him.
People were talking about this guy for Jack Adams 10 minutes ago.
Killing the reporter about the Hayes stuff, this stuff, Couturier. A lot, boys.
It's okay to lose your playoff spot because of inexperience and all the things that he mentioned, but this is the same group that you were talking about having the biggest set of balls.
Yeah.
I don't know. He phrased
no,
it,
he
not me.
No, he has his words, yeah.
His words.
You know, what I think would be really a big factor in my decision-making were I, let's say they miss playoffs and I'm Jones and Breer, is if you're on the team this year and he's talking about you this way, and it's hard. It's hard having a coach like this. You played for Keenan. I had a hard junior coach, but whatever. But we won. We won like crazy. We won our league. And you can justify how it makes you feel and the misery of going to the rink when you're having success. If you get treated like that and you lose, it's tough to play for that guy again the next year. It's tough to be like, yeah, sign me up for that again. The stuff that didn't work last year, I had a great time. So you might lose some buy-in from some guys if it doesn't work.
All right, we got a few minutes left. I wanted to bring this up, but we ran out of time in our first hour of Leaf Edition. But last night we had Sportsnet's National Game of the Week on Monday, Toronto and Florida. Did you catch the post-game interview between Ryan Reeves and our Sean McKenzie about having a shirt on? Do you know anything more than I do? Because he wanted to do the interview shirtless, and Sean told him, go put a shirt on.
No,
is that what happened?
No.
Well, but it is the implication.
He had a shirt on. He had a shirt on when he did the interview. He was talking about wanting to do it with a shirt off.
Yeah, that's right. But
but did someone tell him he couldn't is the question.
He made it sound like like he was not allowed
that's weird,
to do it without a shirt.
Because Willie does it shirtless all the time.
Willie rarely has a tarp on.
Yeah,
so
this man's nipples out every day of the week.
I mean, yeah, if I had Ryan Reeves' body, I'd probably want to do every interview with no tarp on. You know, he's a
He made a reference that, and I know he's just tongue in cheek, and I get all of that. He's a card.
Yeah,
he's a card. But like, that's what's going to get you up there with the NFL.
And, that's what he said. He said, if we want to market the, you know, want to catch the NFL and the NBA, we got to market this body. I love it. Get him out there. No shirt.
Well, one of the
mandatory no shirts.
One of the all time, one of my favorite clips ever was when Scott Oak was interviewing him, and Scott Oak knows him from Winnipeg, and he's like, oh, you know what I look like. You've seen me in the hot tub, Scotty. Like, he's like, I feel like Ryan Reeves, I would love to hang out with Ryan Reeves. I don't know what he's like, you know, in the room. He seems like a boisterous guy. Seems like a lot of fun to be around.
Could we take this show to another level if we did one show shirtless?
It'd be bad for us. I don't think we would have more shows. Sportsnet would just...
I don't think I would stop laughing if I looked across and saw nothing but skin.
Boys, I got to hit the gym if we're doing that.
I would need to get in front of a light box of some variety. My veins through
the way it would reflect off my white, it would be like, people would be,
oh my God. Oh, it'd be like,
not be good for our show.
Shipping you in vanilla.
Tarps right. off. I do love a good tarps off in the summer, though, boys. I love it.
You're a big tarps off guy?
Big time. As soon as I can, I will. I like to drive tarps off.
You're a sleeves guy, I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a type of guy, you know.
Well,
that.
If you're going on like a long road trip, it's the summer, windows are down, get the tarp off. Great feeling.
Just listen to the nitty-gritty dirt band.
All right, I'm putting it back on the rails here.
Sorry.
Washington at Buffalo tonight. Jeff Skinner.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, playing in his 1,000th game.
That is correct.
Only player in NHL history play 1,000 games. And Zippo in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I feel for him because no one is talking about the accomplishment without the Astros.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. A lot of bad luck.
14 years, and he's got the same number of NHL playoff games as you two.
I know. It's pathetic.
I don't know if he's going to get him.
He's got two years left on
three
that deal.
More.
Get out of there.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to take on 9.25?
Buff's coming, boys. Buffalo's coming.
Oh, yeah. I'm not having one more of these combos preseason,
Here come
boys.
The Senators and the Sabres.
You can just zap me before we have this conversation.
Our thanks to Sportsnet analyst Jamal Mayers and Sportsnet.ca's Luke Fox in our first hour. Another 8 games on tap tonight. Pick yours. And we're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great night, everybody.